Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Matthew 24:9, and we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare, not only on an individual level, how you can defend yourself, but also corporately, what is coming in America. I think you're starting to feel the effects of the warfare that is in America. If you don't feel it, if you don't recognize it, if you don't feel the darkness creeping in on this nation, if you don't feel that and the heaviness of it, then you're not living in the same place that I am, because it is definitely getting to be darker by the day here in this country. The light of the gospel, the light of Jesus Christ, is shining brighter in this nation, brighter than it ever has before, and yet the darkness is becoming increasingly dark. And so I want to prepare you and prepare ourselves for that which is yet to come, because the persecution that is coming, brethren, the persecution is going to be great, and it's going to be difficult to stand, even for the strongest of us, even for the strongest of the elect. It is going to be difficult to stand, and there will be trial and tribulation, and that's what Jesus said in the end days in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24:9. He starts talking about the end days, and he says, "And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another, and many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end, or he who stands to the end, shall be saved." Well, Jesus was predicting and prophesying that which is now upon us, and it's going to get much worse. As I spoke before, it's going to get more intense. The darkness is going to envelop every aspect of our society, even more so than it is today, and the destruction of the family and the continual pushing by our government for abortion and the killing of the unborn and the shedding of the innocent's blood is bringing that darkness in. And so we're going to see things unfold here in America like we've never seen it before. And so we need to prepare ourselves. Beloved, if you call yourself a believer, if you stand with Jesus Christ, you need to prepare yourself, because Jesus said that you will be hated, and you're going to be hated by all nations for his name's sake. And so if you claim the name of Jesus Christ, if you stand up and say, "Jesus is my Lord and Savior," or maybe you've even got a tattoo on your arm with a cross and Jesus' name on that tattoo, you're going to be in the target, you're going to be in the bullseye for the devil and for possibly government persecution, persecution by other people in your city, in your state, in this country, who do not believe in Jesus Christ, and they are doing the work and the bidding of the devil in this nation to tear it down, to rip it apart, to destroy families, and to eventually push the church and push the message of the gospel off the airwaves, off the internet, back into the church, and eventually even out of the church and into an underground place where it will not be a part of American culture. And it's very sad to say this. I don't take pride in saying this, and I don't take pride in prophesying gloom over this nation and doom over this nation, but I have seen, as you have, what has happened in the last 10 to 15 years in this nation, and how rapidly, even in the last 6 years, how rapidly things have deteriorated here in regards to the family and the sacred institutions, the pillars of God's kingdom here on this earth. And I have seen that deterioration. I know from prophetic vision and dreams that the Lord has given me, I know what's coming to this nation. And so I am warning you to get your seatbelt buckled and get your gospel armor buckled on and be ready, because what has been prophesied and been cried out by the prophets for the last 20 or 30 years, going back to David Wilkerson and many other prophetic voices in this nation, what has been cried out by them and predicted by them is rapidly coming to pass, and it's going to accelerate even more in the days ahead. Well, Jesus said that you're going to be hated for my name's sake, and he says many will be offended and will betray one another, will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and he says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And I want you to know, beloved, that lawlessness is now abounding. You look across the landscape of this nation and you see lawlessness that has been promoted by our government, lawlessness in terms of trying to secure our borders, lawlessness in terms of breaking what we consider to be the laws of the land to enforce just plain and simple laws of the land. They're being ignored, and even worse than that, the government is aiding people to break the law, and so lawlessness is abounding. Lawlessness in the arena of marriage, lawlessness which goes against God's sacred and holy institution of marriage between one man and one woman. And when government endorses these things, when government endorses and gets behind lawlessness, then you have a release of demonic principalities and powers over the whole nation. You have a release of these demonic entities and spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. You have a release of these demonic entities that then take their place over the nations, take their place over whole regions, whole states, whole cities, and these entities then bring in more of their demonic cohorts, and it becomes very, very difficult to turn back the tide of the demonic entry and turn back the tide of the demonic incursion into the culture and the daily life of people here in America. And so we need to take our stand, Christians. We need to stand up for what is right, stand up for the truth. And I want to read for you from 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Paul was telling Timothy, but in the end days, this is what you're going to see. And Paul said it like this: but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And so there's a description, beloved, of modern-day America. People love pleasure. They love themselves. They are haters of good. They are haters of God. Paul tells us in Romans 1 that when men started to worship each other and women started to worship each other, and they started to worship the creation instead of the Creator, that God gave them over to their passions. He gave them over to their vile passions and to their lustful way of life, and eventually God gave them over because they desired no knowledge of God, and they had no knowledge of God. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. In other words, their mind became so consumed with desire for carnal and lustly activity and the lust of the flesh. Their mind became so consumed with that that they actually had no knowledge or desire to know God. And so people many times will claim to know God. People will claim that they are spiritual. People will claim that they have a spirituality. They describe God in their own terms, but it's not the God of the Bible. It's not God, Jehovah, the Father of Jesus Christ, and the Jesus that they know may not be the Jesus in the Bible, the Son of Jehovah God. And so people start to describe their relationship with God simply to meet their own needs and their own desires and their own selfish desires, and their description of God then does not resemble the God of the Bible, and their description of Jesus does not resemble the God Jesus of the Bible. And it says in verse 5 in 2 Timothy 3 that they will have a form of godliness but deny its power. They don't want to have anything to do with the supernatural God. They don't give any credence to the supernatural God, that he is a God of miracles, that he is a God who can deliver people, that he can break the bonds off of people, that he can set people free, that he can save the hardened hearts. And so they talk about religion, they talk about spirituality, they talk about their walk with God, but they deny God's power, and they deny God's power in their own life because their heart is hard and they do not want his power to come in and change them. And they will not give God the authority in their life to come in and change them and to bring them back to him. They want to continue to walk in the darkness, and they want to continue because they love their sin and they love to revel in the darkness. Well, I'm going to be talking now about the basics of spiritual warfare, because we have to get prepared. We have to get the gospel armor on. We have to get ready for the attacks, not only from individuals, but from government and the entities that government has ushered in. And so the basics of spiritual warfare, Paul talks about it, the classic scripture in Ephesians talking about spiritual warfare. And in Ephesians 6:12, Paul says this: "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And so Paul lays out a hierarchy of the demonic realm. He lays out the stepladder of authority in the demonic realm, and he says there's powers and principalities, the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And as these entities are named, they increase in their power. And as government endorses wickedness, as government endorses apostasy and abominations toward God, as government shakes its fist in the hand of God, then God has no blessings for that nation. God removes his hand of protection off that nation, and the blessings then go away. Read Deuteronomy 28. When you get done listening to this radio broadcast, just go and read Deuteronomy 28, and you will find out that God blesses those who keep his commandments, that God blesses those who walk with him and are obedient to him, and he blesses them in many ways. He blesses their bodies and their livestock and their fields and their crops and their children. And when people are disobedient and rebellious towards God, then God brings the curses, and he allows the curses to come in, and the curses then predominate over a culture in such a way that God can put people on their knees and eventually let their enemies come in and take people over, just as he did with Israel and Judah. He allowed their enemies to come in and to take over and allow the enemies then to haul them off into captivity. And it was the end for 70 years of their culture there in Israel. Now, Paul goes on to say in verse 13, "Therefore take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Well, beloved, this is the evil day. It's starting to look more evil by the day. And so Paul is saying, take up the gospel armor, take it up, and be ready to stand so you can withstand what is coming your way. And I can tell you, beloved, you may not think you're in the battle, but if you're not in the battle, you're not really a Christian. You need to get in the battle. You need to take a stand. You need to speak up and let your friends and your family know that you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he's coming back, and he's coming back to judge this nation and all the nations of the earth. And so if you are not in the battle, you're not really speaking up for the kingdom of God. If you're not in the battle, you are not really engaging the culture that is hell-bent to separate itself from God. If you're not in the battle, if you don't feel the battle, I question whether you're really a believer, whether you're really in Jesus Christ, because you should be feeling the intensity of the battle at this point in time here in America. Well, we're going to take a look at the pieces of the gospel armor, and there's several pieces here, and of course, these are symbolic in a way, the way they're spoken of in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 14. These pieces are a bit symbolic, but they're very real. In the spirit realm, they're very real, And so I would suggest each and every day, especially if you're feeling the heat of the battle, especially if you're feeling persecution or you're feeling the intensity of the warfare that's going on in your community, maybe even in your family, if you would just take action to take these pieces of the gospel armor, pretend like you're putting them on, speak them over your life, speak them over your physical body and your spiritual body, and take these pieces of armor on and pretend like you're girding yourself up and you're strapping on the pieces and you're getting ready to do battle. If you'll do that first thing in the morning or in your prayer time, just say, Lord, cover me up with this gospel armor. Lord, cover me up. Prepare me for the battle. Prepare me for whatever's coming my way. I've been going through a battle here recently trying to get visas and passports and all the documents in a proper order and submitted to the proper authorities for the visas for Africa. It seems like there's a great spiritual battle going on, and let me tell you, brothers and sisters, anytime you're doing work for the kingdom, anytime you're stepping out to move forward in the kingdom, the devil is going to come against you. If you're just sitting on the sidelines, or even worse than that, you're engrossed in sin that has taken you out of the game and removed you from the field of battle, if you're in that situation, you're not going to feel the battle as it rages around you. But if you are intent on sharing the gospel, if you're intent on doing something for the kingdom, making your mark in the kingdom, if you're intent on moving forward in your calling and into your destiny, I can tell you, you are going to be in the battle and you're going to feel the schemes of the devil working against you, and you're going to feel plots and conspiracies and traps set against you, and you're going to see the manifestation of people coming against you to try to take you out of the battle and to try to shut you up and to try to remove you from the arena where you can do battle against the devil. You're going to be removed if you don't stand firm and if you don't protect yourself with the gospel armor. Well, in verse 14, Paul takes it up here and he starts with the belt of truth. He says, stand therefore, having girded your loins, or girded your waist, with truth. Well, what does that mean? It's to protect our loins, it's to protect our sexual organs, but even greater than that, it means that we are to strap on the belt of Jesus Christ around our waist. We're to strap on the belt of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. That's John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And one of the hallmarks of the spirituality with no power that you're going to be hearing in America, that you're going to be hearing a lot of, is that Jesus Christ is not the only way. You already hear that in many places, that Jesus Christ is not the only way to salvation. He is not the only way to heaven. Well, let me tell you, beloved, Jesus made exclusive claims about himself. He proclaimed himself to be the Son of God. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He said, when I speak the words of my Father. I listen to my Father, and I don't do anything without agreement. And Jesus was in perfect agreement with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, and he didn't speak anything that they did not agree to, and he did not act without their agreement. And so Jesus said, I am the way to the Father, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And going to hear false prophets say there's many ways to the Father, there's many ways to God, that all religions are basically the same, that Islam and other religions that claim to be truth, they are just as valid and just as important as Christianity, and we are to accept them, and not only accept them, but help promote them. And so Jesus has said, no, I am the way to the Father, and no one will come to the Father. You have to go through me to get to the Father. And then Jesus also said in John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so as you abide in the Word of God, as you absorb that Word, as you take that Word into your heart, as you memorize that Word, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As you absorb that Word and digest that Word and eat the scroll, you're going to be able to see in the path, because the Word of God will light your way. The Word of God is a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path. And so as you follow that path that the Word illuminates for you, you shall be set free. And then Jesus went on to say in verse 36 in John 8, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And so Jesus came, he said, I came to set the captives free. I came to declare release to the prisoners. I claim that I am the Son of God, and I have been anointed to do these things, to proclaim the gospel to the poor, to give sight to the blind, to bind up the brokenhearted, to declare release to the captives or to the prisoners, and to declare this, the favorable year of the Lord. And Jesus said, whom I set free, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. There's many of you out there listening today. You don't have freedom. You don't have that joy. You don't have that peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. And you need to gird your loins with the truth. You need to spend more time in prayer. You need to spend more time reading God's Word. Maybe you don't understand all of it. Maybe you can't absorb all of it. But as you read, the Holy Spirit will give you more understanding. The Holy Spirit will enlighten you. It will start to illumine your soul. It will start to enlighten you. And as you read the Word, maybe even read it out loud every day. Spend time reading it out loud. And the demons will start to flee from you. The demons will start to hate you when you pick up that Bible and start to read. And so as you absorb that Word and take it into your heart, then the Word of God will illuminate your path and you will be set free. Well, we're going to stop right there today, and I'll take up next week more pieces of the gospel armor and more ways that you can strap on the pieces of armor and get ready for the battle. So when you go into battle, you're not going to get destroyed. You won't get wounded. You will be prepared as the battle rages, and you will be able to go in there strong and wield your sword against the enemy and wield your sword and cause that enemy to flee in front of you. And you will be strong enough to withstand even the greatest of battles that are coming into your life. We're going to Africa again. I want to speak just a brief minute about that. I'll be going and be over there now by the time this message is broadcast. And so I ask for your prayers for the mission. I ask for your prayers for the crusades, for the revivals, for the church meetings, the outdoor meetings. I ask for your prayers for safe travel and good health, strength in the heat of the battle over there. And so I ask you to come alongside this ministry. And we need your partnership. We need you to take up and stand with us in battle and take up the gospel armor and stand with Gather the Outcast Ministry and be with us in the battle as we go into Africa to claim souls for the kingdom of God. And I want you to be a part of it, beloved. If you're listening to me today, I want you to be a part of it. I want you to know that you help to bring souls into the kingdom by your donation, by your offering to the Lord, that you help to bring souls into the kingdom. You help to expand the kingdom of God in the continent of Africa. And so I pray that you would partner with us. We're going to have contact information here in just a minute. So pay attention and listen to that. And I thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.